So when I was first coming out many years ago, one of the first things that I noticed as I met and got to know more LGBTQ plus people is that they seemed to talk about sex a lot more than I was used to. And it wasn't always serious discussions. Often it was more playful, but in general, there seemed to be a greater openness on the subject of our bodies and what we do with them. And I believe actually that this is another queer spiritual gift. By defying cultural norms, LGBTQ plus people invite and then challenge us to talk more openly and honestly about our bodies, about sex, and what it means to be a sensual and sexual being. Instead of a dry, dying religion that is afraid of sex and sexuality, LGBTQ plus people invite us to consider a more sex positive spirituality, one where sex is recognized as a blessing, perhaps even a sacrament that draws us closer to God, where sex and sexuality do not define who we are, but are still an integral part of our authentic God-created selves. Human beings, of course, tend to have a lot of hang-ups about sex. We get embarrassed about it. Religion often treats it as dirty and shameful instead of a gift from God. I think a lot of our discomfort with sex comes from the long-term legacies of patriarchy and misogyny, which produce attitudes about sex that are based in fear and the control of others. Religion reinforces these attitudes when it focuses on warnings of sexual immorality and treats sex either as a transaction or a duty, a necessary evil. Religion tends to want to create walls around sexuality, traditionally confining sex to marriage between a man and a woman. And even then, it's often still looked upon as dirty, not a blessing, but something that we have to do to procreate, or something that we can't help but do because of our animalistic natures. And there are many texts in scripture that support these negative attitudes about sex. For example, the Apostle Paul often uses language that creates a flesh versus spirit dichotomy and pushes the idea that people should refrain from sex and only get married if they really, really can't control their urges. LGBTQ plus people, however, must necessarily live outside of religion's limiting boxes in order to be who God made us to be. Living outside those walls, especially as Christians as well, challenges the legitimacy of the walls. It creates an opportunity for us to be ambassadors for a healthier, more sex-positive spirituality. It invites us to be vulnerable and more open. It invites us into important conversations and discernment about sex and sexual relationships, our bodies and our body images, and the ethics of intimate relationship. It invites us to look deeper into scripture and religious tradition in order to find more sex-positive messages. And for all of its negative messages about sex, it's fascinating that we also find in the Bible one of the raciest erotic love poems that I've ever read, the Song of Songs. This is a poem about two people trying to figure out how to have a meaningful, intimate, and physical relationship when the world seems to want to conspire to keep them apart. And the excerpt that we read tonight gives us a flavor for that as the couple yearns to be together. The Song of Songs is not ashamed to talk about the sensuality of the human body and the beauty of two people coming together to share themselves physically. And this is not a married couple having sex out of duty or procreation. This is a couple coming together solely out of their need for love and intimacy. This is two people living in the moment. The song says, as we lie together out of time, their sexual passion transcends time. It feels eternal to them. They share their divine natures with each other. I am yours, you are mine. They talk of opening what has been kept locked away, showing vulnerability, a sharing of their true selves. And there's a connection to nature as well, using trees, fruit, and wine as euphemisms and dreaming of continuing their tryst in the vineyards. That all feels to me like they're treating sex as a sacrament, something that weakens the barrier between us and the divine, bringing us closer to God, the God in ourselves and in each other and in nature. The Song of Songs doesn't separate body and spirit, but brings them together with joyful pleasure and a sex-positive spirituality. But healthier attitudes about sex aren't just about proclaiming its pleasures. We also need to address the ways in which human beings misuse the gift of our sexuality. The Bible certainly doesn't avoid the problem. It warns us of sexual immorality and includes many stories of abuse. The problem, it seems to me, is that we usually learn the wrong lessons from those stories. We come to the conclusion that sex itself must be bad. But what if we recognized sex as a gift from God and then stopped to ask, well, what exactly then do we mean by sexual immorality? When people talk about sexual immorality, they often seem to include anything and everything that they personally aren't interested in. They think, well, if it's wrong for me, then it must be wrong for everybody. Or if it feels right for me, then that must be how everyone else should feel as well. But our like and dislike of something isn't what makes it moral or immoral. We need to be thinking a little bit deeper than that. Perhaps we should be asking questions like, is it safe? Is it consensual? And if there are risks involved, somehow are people aware of what those risks are and willing to accept them? If we ask if anyone is hurt and the answer is no, then how can we call it immoral? And when we ask if someone is hurt by something, it means the personal, mental, emotional, and physical health of the people directly involved. To be clear, a person is not hurt by what two unrelated people do with each other. Sometimes people claim that same-sex marriage, for example, hurts straight people, somehow making their own marriages less meaningful. What is really happening is that same-sex marriage challenges their worldview. It challenges their understanding of how they think life is supposed to work. And having our worldview challenged, as frightening as it can be, is not hurtful. It's actually a good thing, a helpful thing. It's an opportunity for us to grow when someone challenges our worldview. More openness about sex and a more positive spirituality, sex-positive spirituality, gives us all that opportunity for growth. Too often, we take issues of sex and think of them as dirty little secrets that shouldn't be talked about in polite company. But maybe we should be talking about them. Issues like polyamory, BDSM, prostitution, pornography, instead of automatically declaring anything that's not a vanilla heterosexual relationship as taboo, maybe we should be asking, well, what actually bothers us about how others feel called to lead their lives? Why do we care? Maybe we should be talking more about things like power dynamics in sex and how body images influence our attitudes. Maybe instead of labeling things as good versus bad, we need to think about what's ethical versus unethical. Maybe we need to look at everything through an ethic of love. And I don't mean romantic love. Those gooey, make your heart race emotions may or may not be present. I don't believe one has to be in love to enjoy the gift of sex. But perhaps, however, we need to treat each other lovingly, treat each other with respect and kindness, and care about each other's well-being. Jesus taught us that love is the foundation of how we are created to relate to each other. And I think that means both inside and outside the context of sex. And Paul echoes this teaching in his famous description of love in his first letter to the Corinthians. And as negative as Paul can be about sex, I think he seems to understand what it means to love. Like Jesus, he believes that love is foundational, claiming anything we do is meaningless if we don't do it in love. Our power, knowledge, wealth, the words we speak, Paul says it's all empty without love. For Paul, that means love means being patient and kind, rejoicing in truth. And if we're envious or boastful or arrogant or rude or irritable or resentful or hurtful, then we're not acting in love. Love is knowing others and being known by others. Hope and trust grow out of love. And when we embrace love and the God of love, then we become whole and mature, our authentic selves. And this kind of profound love, as Paul defines it, means that in terms of sexual ethics, I think that we first and foremost must care about each other's well-being. It doesn't mean we have to be married or romantically involved, but we can't treat each other as disposable. I think it's more an ethic of do no harm while also at the same time helping each other whenever and as much as we can. And at first, I think connecting sex and an ethic of love might seem limiting in some ways, like we're just creating another box. But I don't think so. Consider a marginal issue, perhaps, for an example, BDSM. We might think of whips and chains and declare it inherently unloving and hurtful. But for those who actually practice it, which is certainly not limited to a few people in the LGBTQ plus community, it also involves things like negotiating what happens before it happens, talking about limits and what you don't want to do, considering safety concerns, planning for what happens if someone wants to stop, and planning for aftercare. It puts power dynamics in the forefront rather than relegated to an afterthought. There's actually a great deal of thought and discussion that goes into BDSM activities, which actually doesn't even have to be about sex at all. It's much more thought than we normally put into sex, and that seems to me to be a good thing, something we could actually learn from because it encourages us to care for each other's well-being and to practice that ethic of love. But no matter what we do with each other and expressing our sexuality, letting go of judgments and relating to each other through an ethic of love makes for a more sex-positive spirituality. One that celebrates sex rather than condemns it, one that affirms every individual in what they know to be right for them in the moment, whether that means sex in marriage, or kinky sex, or vanilla sex, or no sex. A sex-positive spirituality based in love is grateful for the bodies that God has given us, whether we're tall or short, fat or skinny. It respects the integrity and desires of every individual. Our sexuality, our sensuality, our physicality are all gifts from God. They're a part of how God created us in the divine image, proclaimed good. We are each God's beloved, welcomed, affirmed, and cherished as we are. Let's try to release our negativity, our cultural shame about sex, and embrace that queer spiritual gift of openness and vulnerability, of a more sex-positive spirituality. Let us embrace God's invitation to freedom, to become our true and authentic selves. Amen.